All right. By giggling, that means you enjoy that actor, right? All right. My kids keep talking in that deep southern accent of Matthew McConaughey. Yeah, Tim watches the movies, you can see, he knows. So is it a bit dark in here? It feels like winter's arriving, and that I don't like that. Can autumn just stay a bit longer? But if it's too bright in the middle, just keep it. But if you want some sun in the back, maybe behind the back row, you're welcome to open it. It does feel like I'm talking into a shadow at the back. And it's not great when the shadows hide your faces. So maybe we can open that back one a little bit there. Oh, thanks, Maurice. As long as it doesn't beam you guys out of here with too much sun. But yeah, oh, thank you. Open the curtains. Oh, that's beautiful. Okay, a response. Who of you, be bold, please, ready and have someone already on your heart and mind to bring along to next Sunday when the good news goes out in this place a week from now. Liam's got his hand up. One. Okay, as you put your hand up, run to the front. I've got something for you. Lloyd, well done. Is it? I saw that hand. Excellent. Come, I've got something for you. Come get another one if you've already taken. But if you've genuinely got someone that you want to invite with a personal message to join you next Sunday, here it is. Just sometimes it's good to have a printed out. Digital is great, but you know it gets to someone's phone and sometimes they can not even respond. But here you can write a little message and a little how's it, old school. So is that all? Is Lloyd and Liam the only ones? Who would like one? Mark Gilling. You gotta take two because you double bold. Okay, there's two. So basically you're gonna have two friends here next time. We're gonna hold you accountable. Last few. Bianca Duplessis, don't be shy. You're excellent at this. You're inspiring when it comes to inviting people. She doesn't even need one because she's doing the business anyway. But yeah, who wants to take the last three? Here we go. Zani, you're also very encouraging when it comes to inviting people through your life into your life. Two more. I love this. It's like giving away, you know. It's like people are aware, like if I do take this, there's a commitment. Like, you know, I'm gonna be certain. Pen, fantastic. I'll never forget, Penn, when we met you. It was Daniela who did the very same thing to you, right? Marcia, I probably need a whole stack for your wife, Adrian. I'm a bit late. I can't believe I gave Marcia the very last one. Eh? Yeah, God has a sense of humor. You're going to have to go photocopy and make another 50 just for Fresno. Okay, so that's awesome. We're excited for Sunday. Dylan is a wonderful teacher and preacher. He leads Josh Jen and Musenberg, and he's really amped to just preach the undiluted, basic, simple, powerful, awesome gospel. And the good news coming from a different voice is always so refreshing for us, but also for people that we bring along. Hey, so please feel free, guys, like in the week for the community leaders, please turn Wednesday around. Get the little black books out. Make notes. If you've got names, great. If not, make names. Stay accountable. Pray over those people on Wednesday night. If there's some visitors there on Wednesday night, don't make it too awkward. Just make it about the visitor. Love them. Get to know them. Share some testimonies. But really use Wednesday. And I would encourage the other nights of the week, if you're getting together, having meals, praying together, doing some one-on-one times, just take some moments to pray into Easter weekend, because it's always a wonderful time of family and visitors and new people. And people that we've been building relationship for a while, it's the time to really draw them towards God and His people and His household. Bring them in. Okay, so that's going to be next Sunday. And then Friday night, we're having a worship time in Woodstock. Everyone's invited, family and friends. Visitors are also invited there. It's not an exclusive only for believers, but it's for everybody. But we'll be pressing into the Lord Friday night. And in worship, primarily prayer, whatever he wants to do. Okay. Is my voice sounding a bit like it's going already? It's from shouting at my teammates yesterday. Sorry, guys. Sorry if I did get a bit frustrated with you. I was really frustrated with my aging legs, and I might have taken it out on you. But no, jokes aside, we had so much fun. Thanks for the support. We really did well to lose 3 games in a row. Not easy. It takes a lot to go and play amongst the people of God and lose graciously for their sake. Because God says, We are to build others up and lay down our lives so that the younger saints can come past us and through. Amen. We were the veterans, and the veterans must make way for the next generation. Except Liam was the next generation amongst us. But he's learning how to be an old man in a young man's body. But it was fun. Yeah, expected to see more of you there. If you were, maybe we would have won a game. But anyway, no, I'm just joking. But it was really good. Great to do some life together outside of the norm. It's so good to do that, guys. Get out of the norm, get out of the box. I met an old high school friend who's been in Cape Town longer than me. Good guy, family man. Came to play with us yesterday. I asked Taryn for her discernment, and she's, babe, he's just open. He's open. And I like, okay, I'm hearing my, yeah, okay. So the soil is soft, you know, in his life, to really just invite him into what we know and to introduce him to who we know. And so we'll be having a dinner, meeting his family, his wife and his child soon. And so it's always that thing, you know, like Sunday morning next week, come along, or do we have a meal first? You know, we've got to be so spirit-led. Sometimes having people in our homes first before inviting them to a church meeting is really God's best. We've got to discern, you know, and there's ways of introducing people to Jesus in different ways. So encourage us, make space in our lives for unbelievers. Dan Barnard preached a wonderful message, which I'll try and get hold of for us. But it was literally this. Are we too busy for the lost? You know? And it's like he was basically challenging the church, leaders, saints, the newest to the oldest followers of Christ. Are we too busy to make space for unbelievers in our lives? And we need to create margin to connect with people that are on the outside of the kingdom. If someone didn't do that for Taryn and I, we wouldn't be standing here. And I'm sure you guys would witness with that as well, right? So, okay, let me kick off. I'm going to start with a story because stories are always very, very good. And I think the Lord is maybe going to build more of a foundation today and not take me too deep into my prepared notes, because I think he is touching on something with us of a theme that we're going to hopefully build into and onto. Next week, Dylan will be with us. The week after, Roland and Patty Barnard, Dan and Sam's parents will be with us on the 12th of April. Roland has planted churches around the places like Nelspruit and Benoni. Our Gauteng churches are a result of him and his wife laying down their lives to plant up in Gauteng. They're just an incredible couple, and he's a Holy Spirit man, and she is too, a woman who loves the person of the Holy Spirit. They're going to come here and just bring us that part of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit person, and how we need to know the Holy Spirit and to be filled by him and to continually be filled with the Spirit to be able to walk this journey of discipleship and following Jesus. You know, Jesus went and sent us someone better called the Holy Spirit. And so the theme going forward is really to look at discipleship and what it is and how it's applying to our life. And are we seeking discipleship for ourselves, and are we discipling others? Because that is the Great Commission, which I'll touch on. And it's God's great call and purpose over each of our lives, each of us. So that will be the next couple of weeks. And we'll be building into that, so that becomes a strength in us again, that each of us are mentoring someone. But each of us are seeking mentorship and discipleship in our own lives, and actually being intentional about that. But I wanted to say, like, sometimes we get into the cookie cutter mode, and the challenge is God loves to break our boxes and do things very differently. And so some of you may have heard Wednesday night a little story about my stepbrother in KZN. His name is Travis. And he's a ball of life and entertainment and fun. The kind of guy, you know, you all know someone. Like, if Lord would only get hold of that person's heart, they would reach many. Because they're so loved and they're so life of the party. He's about this big, but he's quite strong. And he just laughs and smiles. Ask Taryn. He's got the most bubbly personality. And you remember we gathered here for a prayer meeting one night. We broke up in the hall. It was a Wednesday night. And we prayed, and I'd shared that, like, he's on my heart, and there's something going on with him didn't know what it was because he didn't know how to even explain it, but something was happening. And basically, after praying, we just began to talk more, him and I. And what happened is he started to encounter Jesus, but he didn't know how to put a label on it. Totally out the box, starting to see the darkness in the world and enjoying the light. He would say things like, I can see all the toxic relationships in my life. I'm cutting them off. Without any Christianese or Bible language at all. It was actually very challenging to me because I'm trying to figure out where is he at and what's going on in his heart. I can see God's encountering him, but it doesn't look like what I know, which is actually so freeing and so awesome because it's different and it's out the box. And God is the one who saves. Jesus is the one who builds his church. We just get invited on the journey. But he's so big and so creative to do it anyhow he likes. Right? So he reaches in and he calls my stepbrother and he begins to speak to him to a point that finally he agrees with his friend, Paul, to take him to church, which is the Sunday when we arrived in Durban for my mom's memorial, the week before. He messages me to say, Popsy or Paul, has been on my back, and I went with him on the Sunday, and they announced a baptism, like God, and they were doing it as a family after the Sunday. By the way, is there anyone else who also wants to follow Jesus and obey and be baptized? Is there anyone here today? There is another, actually, today, with God. So Joe will talk to you, sir. Joe's just behind you with that beautiful hat. And he's wearing it again because I told him he looks so handsome with it on, and he does. But the same thing happened that morning, and my young brother Travis, being so bold, ran to the front. He said, Neil, I don't know what I was doing, but I ran. I was the first one in the front. First time I'm visiting, I find myself in the front. And I'm like, I'll be the first one in. So off they went to their little baptism pool afterwards. And he got baptized, sent me the video Monday morning. He said, you won't believe what happened. And I saw the video. And the pastor prayed for addictions to be broken and for the past to be broken. He's walked a very good worldly life. Okay. So this is going to break now for you, Travis. And boom, boom, out the water. Thursday night, he's like, Neil, I've been invited to Bible study. What's that all about? First. I was given a Bible. It's very daunting. I don't even know where to start, bro. Help me. I was like, just tell me it's an NLT. That's a good version. It's a good read. They've done well. Start in the Gospels and drink from the Psalms and get to know God and stay in touch with your friend who's brought you to church. Like, let him disciple you. That's the most important thing. And talk to me lots. The very next week, he's taken to Bible study Thursday night. Maybe it's their small groups. And he said to me the next day, you won't believe what happened. They prayed for me. And they held my hand. They said, close your eyes. We're going to pray for you. And he said, ew, when I was finished, it was like an electric current was going through me. He said, when I looked up, I was dripping brew from my head. My whole shirt was wet. I said, I think you went through deliverance. What is that? I was like, Lord, this is the most exciting, powerful thing to go through. When people encounter Jesus and they don't know how to put words on it. We need this in our life, ongoingly. Otherwise, we get into boxes and we can get religious about things. Because to be honest, I had a different path for my brother. You come through this and you may be going, who am I? I'm just got saved before you. I just encountered the Lord before you. Jesus is out the box. And he's doing this out the box thing with quite an out the box person. I'm so excited that he's choosing to do it with Travis like this. And so he's getting filled with the Holy Spirit and stuff is leaving him and he's a drenched mess. And he says, you know, in all my partying days and all the drugs I used, I have not encountered electrifying power like that. This is it. I'm like, yeah, I could have told you that for the last 20 years. I think I've been trying to tell you, but you know, when someone's heart's not open, it's not open. And who can open someone's heart? Only Jesus. So I pray for people. And our continual reaching out and testifying is our part, but Jesus must do the rest. And he's just done it in his timing. And it's like beautiful and it's raw and it's open and it's real. And then last week, he says, you won't believe what happened. there's this guy who we both know, Darren, used to be married to a good friend of ours. They were involved in a church. They had two small kids. They were serving the Lord. He went off the rails, apparently back to Durban, back to friends who did a lot of partying and drugs, and apparently he went totally off the rails. She remarried, we understood. Things are moving on. It was a long story, but it's been a decade or so, and heard of his name. Travis said to me, "Hey, you remember that? I'll just use his nickname, Pilko." Yes, I do remember him. Everyone in Durham's got a nickname. No one knows their real names. So he said there was this video that went viral. He said, "You remember that movie Trainspotting? It was worse than that." I was like, "Oh my gosh." So because he was part of this church, the pastor said to me, "Travis, you're on your first mission. You're coming with me," the leader of the church that he's at. He also had a bit of a background in security and nightclubbing and bouncing. The man who leads the Harvest Church in Mshlanga Rocks. He said, "You're coming with me. This will be good for you, brand new disciple. Come." He says, "You know this lad. We're going to fetch him tomorrow. We're getting him out of that place. Can't be there anymore. He's a child of God. He needs salvation." He was making threats. They're going to take his life and it's done. He's got two kids. So they went and they rescued him. First and foremost, they prayed for him. He didn't want to receive them. "What are you guys doing here?" He said, "It was a terrible sight, this drug house and people." They went in there. They grabbed hold of him. He said, "We're taking him to rehab." He fought them. And my brother said, "Hey, no one's going to fight with us. You may see the size of my pastor. He's had a background. He's full of the Lord, but he's a big guy." And there were three of us. There's no ways this guy was refusing us. I said, "Yeah, sounds like you're on a mission. But for the kingdom of light now, it's so amazing. Because he used to behave this way in the other kingdom. Now he's like, we're rescuing people for Jesus." I'm like, "Oh, Lord, you are amazing, God. This is our mission. To rescue people out of brokenness and bring them to know the one who saves and heals." So eventually they get him focused and the pastor lays his hands on Pilko and they begin to pray. And my brother says, pastor says, "Now, Travis, this is how you learn. Here comes a chocha." And my brother says, the guy's jaw dropped and his tongue almost hit his feet. He said he's never seen such a long tongue in his life. And as he did that, there was this roar. And my brother said, "I just put my hands on him and I began to pray my best prayers like the pastor and the other leader was praying." And he said, eventually, he sat down, looked up and said, "Hey, Travis, I haven't seen you for ages. What are you doing here?" He said, "Neil, it was like a different person." I said, "I can understand. I can relate. It's because the enemy's gone and he's back because the power of God has come in." I was like, "You're a three-week-old Christian. You got to a Bible study last week. You were given a Bible the week before and you were baptized the third week before. Hallelujah." And I remember saying to Terry, "Man, I want some fire again. I'm inspired. 23 years serving Jesus. That's what I want. It's not only that, but it's that as a lifestyle in different ways." You with me? And this discipleship, it's taking people along the journey. This thing of how boring to just do our discipleship at Seattle Coffee week after week, year after year. And man, there's more. There's so much more. There's people everywhere, desperate, some about to end their life. He was a child of God. He is a child of God. But he got to that place. It took believers to see a viral video. Thank you, Lord, for social media in this regard. To know where he is and to reach out and go find him. He is safely in a rehabilitation now, a week long. He's there. He agreed. I don't think he could disagree, but they took him. But they prayed for him in that moment, which stirred my faith. Because oftentimes you think it's like, it doesn't look like you can pray for someone sometimes in such desperate situations. But because he was a child of God, they went for it by faith. And something left him. Hey, there'll be more journey of discipleship. There'll be ongoing, absolutely. But wow, I thought to myself, that is an active, those are some active believers right there. Beautiful. And there's so many of us here that have worlds to reach and have gifts inside of you to reach those around you, whatever the situation. Sometimes people are just locked into self and my world. And I realized my brother was like that as well. And then Jesus came in. Suddenly, it's all about that guy. His world changed. Suddenly, it's not revolving around Travis. It's revolving around someone else and everything that matters to him. It's actually night and day what happens. Is suddenly, the Lord comes in. And our world is not about us anymore. And I wanted to inspire us with a story. There's nothing better than fresh testimony. And then just say, like, you know, this thing of discipleship and finding people to walk with. If Paul had not found my brother, he wouldn't have been on, he was in the Great Commission himself, reaching out to people in his world. Let me find him. Let me disciple others and teach them how to now go and do the very same. Isn't it incredible how God works? I want to read Acts 4, verse 13. I only have a few scriptures, which I know Trace and Sean have, but it was a beautiful passage. If you read in your own time, chapter 4, from verse 1, the build-up is incredible, but I'm just going to pick up on Acts 13, because Peter and John had done, the disciples had done something so courageous through speaking boldly that it shook people. It shook the religious types who then saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. We can leave that up. It reminds me of ordinary, unschooled men who my brother is hanging around with in the church in KZN. Unschooled, ordinary, but full of courage. Why? Because they'd encountered the Holy Spirit. They'd been filled with the power of God through the person of the Spirit. And therefore, they were able to speak with courage. They were able to do things out of the ordinary. And it shook those around them. But more than that, people took note to see that these men had been with Jesus. He'd been with him. Now, discipleship in a nutshell is being with Jesus. He chose how many disciples from a lot of believers. How many did Jesus choose to work with? 12. It was 12. Can anyone name all 12? Go for it. Come on. Not Mark. He's good at this. Not Liam. He's good at this. Let's go. Call them out. It's challenging because three of them have got two names. Thank you, Lord, for just throwing it out there. Huh? But you've got these 12 that were called. And some of them we hear lots of, like John, Peter, James, Andrew, Philip. Oh, get the names? Thaddeus, Didymus. Who's Didymus? Thomas. Did Thomas doubt or Didymus doubt? Was it the same person? Nathaniel or Bartholomew? Bartholomew or Nathaniel. Two James, the lesser, the bigger. One James, the son of Alphaeus. The other James is the son of Zebedee? James and John? Got to watch The Chosen more. It's Easter. We're going to watch The Chosen. But I love the personality of these men and the little bits we get from Scripture. Some we get more of than others. But you think to yourself, 12 men with Jesus, intimate, close, how it should be. And then the 12 go and multiply out everything they've learned from the master, teacher, rabbi, friend, Jesus. And I think for us, it's why we prioritize our small groups, because our community leaders will never be able to know much more than 10 or 15 of you, if that, as lives become busier and busier. It's very, very difficult to really get into the lives of many. So hence, we break up into smaller groups. This is why we have 60 smaller groups meeting like this on a Sunday at different times of the world right now. As a part of one church called Joshua Generation. Right now, 60 places around the world meeting just like us in Seapoint. But then even in here, we break up into 5 groups so that we may know one another really well. And we have some trusted leaders whose lives we've watched over the years who pick up the role of leadership over the 10 or 12 in that small group. It can love you and know you and help you as Jesus did with his 12. Not saying 12 is the magic number. Some can lead a small group of 20 because there's a grace capacity to do that. So at the moment, we have 5 groups meeting like this. And we're going to have 2 more by 22nd of April this year. We'll have two more groups popping open. Maybe another. But for now, we know of two definite. That's exciting. You know what's exciting? Because it's expansion. And if you think about a person like Travis, my stepbrother, if there's houses open and hearts widened and seats made available, people like him can come and find a place, receive a Bible, and be invited into the kingdom. I always think of this, some have said over the years, you know, when a place is full, psychologically for new people, or even unbelievers, or those that the Lord is doing something with, if it looks full, it's very difficult for someone to stick around because they feel like we're a family already, and it's like, how do I get in here? But if there's space created and homes open, the Lord fills every time. Once and again, he fills. And then we can make disciples. So I want to read the Great Commission, because I mentioned it earlier, which is in Matthew 28 and verse 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them, again to his disciples, and he said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." Can we leave that up, please? Can anyone else think of that last statement from Jesus? If you've seen it anywhere else in the Word, "And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." That phrase, just written like that from Jesus to us, it's quite unique for me. I mean, he's made promises that he'll always be there for it, but just stated in that way, it's quite unique to the end of this passage. "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I'm like, if that doesn't fill us with confidence that he's never letting us go, but let alone he's empowering us, strengthening us, he's alongside of us, not to the very, just to the end of our lives, but to the end of this age, the end of the age of, we're in the age of his church. We are his people now, bringing his kingdom through this vehicle. The believers gathered together in a household called his church. His salvation made available for anybody and everybody. What an age to live in. That he's perfecting his church, his bride, in this age, to a point where he will come back and receive us and take us to make us perfect. And to live with him forever. What an age. And until the very end, no matter how many wars break out and how worse the world gets, he will be with us to the very end of the age. But before that, he's given us this command. And it's really our mission. It's really why we exist. And it's really, if we ever ask, well, what are we in Sea Point? What are we about? What are we up to? It's actually as simple as that. We are to go and make disciples of all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, so they may come alive. Individuals can come alive in Christ, be made new. And then comes the discipleship part. My brother needs to be taught now. He doesn't know anything, but he's alive. It's beautiful. The teaching comes about the commands that God has given us, a way to live. But there's an obedience part there that's very difficult. That four-lettered word, I mean, to obey, oh my gosh, just to get the kids to obey instructions this week. It's been first week of school holiday. Yeah, how many times do we have to talk? Kiddos, you need to obey. Otherwise, no play date at the Pierce's this afternoon, Rebecca. We literally had to, obedience, we are training it all the time. And it's not just our kids, it's God's kids as well. That's you and I, us adult kids. We're exactly the same. I'm the same. It's this human nature. But we are to teach the children of God to obey all that God has commanded us to do. To teach one another to obey takes leadership. Some of us who've been graced differently to go ahead to help the family to mature, just like parents do with the children in the household. But also there's this discipleship towards one another. In our small groups of 10 and 12, we do disciple one another. The one-on-ones, the friendships, the similarities, the Bible studies, the holding one another to account, the fasting that happens when saints in the home group decide we're going to fast together and we're going to break bread every Wednesday. And there's this coming together of, excuse me, I'm getting excited, of discipling one another towards encountering Jesus more and more. And when we do, the obedience becomes more and more of a I get to and a desire to and I want to. There was a preacher once upon a time who said it so well. He would always say, when we encounter Jesus, our have to's become our want to's. You know, our have to's in life, do these things, become I want to and I get to. And there's this desire that wells up, like I get to obey everything God's commanded me. And it's so easy because there's grace enables me to, and it's a pleasure, and I'm growing, and it's because Isaac's in my life in this one-on-one discipleship, and it's because I've also got these friends in home group. And the beauty is that I don't have to just go on a Wednesday night and go on a Sunday and devote myself, because that would be a have to. But like I get to, that's like these basics that have been put in place just so we can breathe. But that's not it. Those are there, great. Don't forsake the gathering of the house of God. Don't forsake the gathering of the saints once a week when we come together. Get together in your small group so you can grow and people can know you. But if that's the extent, we're living in the have to. And that is a killjoy. Because I have to devote and I have to do these things because I've been given this great commission and because God said, and my leader told me I should come. Oh my gosh, are we going to live there? Like if my brother now is a four-week-old child, had to live there. Like that's the thing. If you ask me, what's the one thing? I would say don't ever live there. Don't ever get into the habit of doing what has to be done. Like encounter Jesus and live in the fullness. Like go on missions. Go find your old friends. Go preach the gospel to them as much as you can. Just don't drop your boss because you need to work as unto the Lord. Do your hours. Don't cheat. Keep working hard. Because like one day, if you ever called into leadership and the church want to know about your character, which is super important to God, one of the key things is to phone your boss and find out what you like most hours of your week. So don't drop the ball there. So there's discipleship. I'm going to have to get to that point of discipling. That's for all of us all the time, right? But that's so important. Who loves David Pawson's teaching? The late grandfather David Pawson. He's a wonderful man. I know a lot of us know his teaching. You know what he used to do before ordaining a new elder onto his team? Some of you might know, but I only heard this recently. David Pawson would ask your boss. Let's just say Tim, the Lord's put his hand on Tim. Tim's his own boss. That doesn't work. let's just say, so many own bosses here, okay? I can't pick on many here. Let's say young Liam Daniels. Let's pick our young football star. If Liam Daniels, the Lord's put a grace on Liam and we sense that he might be calling Liam to function in the household as a shepherd, pastor, elder one day, David Pawson would speak to his boss at work and ask for a referral letter to get a read on the character of Liam Daniels. Because the house of God is such a high calling that we would need to know that there's a track record of working over and above, of, okay, you get the message. I think that's so beautiful. It's discipleship. It's such an important part of our journey. And the beauty is that our desire to press in for it, I think is the one point I want to make, is so vital. Sometimes we can wait, and if no one presses in and says, hey Mark, I'd really like to disciple you and spend some time, like I see something on your life, I feel like God's putting his hand there, man, let's walk a little bit of a journey. Like the spirit-led moments are really beautiful and they can happen and they should happen. But actually, if we move from the have-tos to the want-tos, outside of the regular meetings, a Mark or anyone would come and say, you know what, I really want to grow in the Lord. Could you walk with me for a season? Could you? I see something on your life. I love worship. Could you teach me some things? And so actually the people of God begin to press into others, and not only saints and friends, but pushing into a leader, because there is this grace that leaders also carry. It doesn't exclusively be a leader and only and always, but also to have a leader who knows your life, but others that you recognize. I'd actually like to be like Josh. So I'm going to spend some time with Josh as a friend, because I recognize that there's something that's beautiful about him that's in Jesus, and I want to be like him. So I spend time with Josh, but then I also press in with another and actually seek out discipleship. That is a beyond Wednesday and Sunday living. That is a lifestyle of, I have seen that Jesus' high hope for me is that I become more like him. It's him shaping my character to make me just like him. And that takes the people around me to help me. To help me. I think in business, people even steal good things from the gospel. Like, show me your five friends and I'll show you where you're going to be in the business world. Who are the five people around you? Or you'll be the CEO one day because you're pressing into good leaders who've run business. There's some truth in that. If you spend your time with quality people in any area of life, you will become like them. You'll grow like them. But it's a kingdom principle that we will rub off on one another, and we need to have these upward relationships as well as these peer relationships. But we need to be pressing into the Travises, who are three-week-old babies. You know, here's the truth. Every single one of you that know Jesus and walk with him, you are able, not only able to disciple another, you should be, because he's asked us to. So if ever you feel ill-equipped, welcome to the club. He calls us to follow him. He called those 12 out of nowhere, fishing and tax collection. He trained them up. What, 3 years he spent with him? And he sent them. But already, go, my boys, go, do it. And you learn on the job. You learn on the job. I couldn't speak in my first church. I was petrified. Now you guys can't shut me up. And the man who discipled me, his name was Mark, and his wife is Anne. He's late. He got a very bad disease soon after we left the very first church we were part of in the Assembly of God. They were an eldership couple there. And then we came to Josh Jen. We've been in those two churches. And we thank God for the AOG, spirit-filled, godly people who were very intentional about discipleship, very good at raising leaders. And Mark once put his jersey around Taryn when a prayer meeting in a freezing cold school. And he said, I just saw that you were cold. Taryn gets cold, you know, and she gets cold quickly. And she was like standing there in a t-shirt, and he's like, here's his grandpa. And he just put his jerseys around her and said, I'm just going to give your wife a jersey. And he said, there was something special in you. And for that moment that he took he took like a parental role over Taryn and myself, and ended up walking a journey with us through marriage, did our marriage ceremony, had never done one before. Little did he know we would then have something of that rub off on us. We'd walk with couples ourselves, use books that he gave us to help develop other marriages and marry many people ourselves. Wouldn't have known that before, but he was faithful to follow scripture as best as he could. But we pushed in really hard to their input, and they were there for us as spiritual parents. I want to say we need those people in our lives, you know, we really do. We really, 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 really do. I can't tell you how important their role has been in our lives, teaching us all things. And the beauty is being in their house. It was in their home that we were discipled, in their home, seeing them fight while they gave us marriage input out of a marriage counseling book. The best thing ever was to see them fight in their 60s. He was a Lebanese Greek, this tall, and he was a successful businessman, hugely generous hearts, both of them, and they would make food for us. Yeah. We'd end up sleeping over often because it was just food. They used to fill me. I used to just, like, maybe they thought I was 20-something and I didn't eat and I was scrawny, but he's always feeding me, always feeding me. And then they would talk into marriage. We'd do the Bible. We'd do the course books, but we would then see them argue. And it was a Lebanese-Greek thing, you know, the passion. And then we would learn from their mistakes so often. It's the most beautiful thing. And I want to end with that point, really. is that we need to see one another's lives. And it's so refreshing to see how normal all of us are in the Lord, even those that have walked longer and further. We need to be in one another's homes. And we need to be away with each other as far as possible. I actually wanted to encourage little groups going away. Not all the time, so you're never, you know, around. It's Cape Town, you gotta watch what you say. But do it wisely. I've got some friends in the congregation up the coast who actually, it's my neighbors and their friends. They're going away. They've checked in. They're not on serving duty. It's a deaconship couple and another leadership couple, and they're taking another younger couple in the church. Just six of them and their kids. And the investment is, we're going to have fun together. But we actually, it's like such an investment to go away together and to build and to bring this younger couple through in discipleship. Show them how to raise kids. Show them how to just do life together outside of the odd meeting, but live together for 3 days. And I said, you know, this is where so much is formed in us. So much discipleship happens. And it's really beautiful.